Okay, I think we can get ready for puja. Huh? So tonight, who are the one going to light the candle and incense? Susan, come. Yeah, light your the incense that you offered. Stephanie, you are going off already. Come. Stephanie and Susan, come. So this is our. Okay. Let us rejoice. We can stand up, get ready for the puja. Then we can rejoice with all the offering. Oh, no more guests. Oh, still got guests. The other one is the incense. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Can start offer the tree. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Okay, you can have your seat. Thank you so much. Oh, one more, sorry. The last one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start our puja chanting. First, we will pay homage to the Triple Gem. We will chant the usual salutation to Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha in the Thai tradition. Then you develop your faith, Saddha, Virya, then pay respect, mindfulness. Arahan Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of our puja chanting book. We will start off with a vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Okay, we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganda sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayotena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana muttamang. Vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha tumokang. Upang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasabawang. Adiwasetu no bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, turn to page 18. We will make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Now we shall make the overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Now we shall share and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect. Triple Jam. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang pujami. Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Relax body and mind, huh? Then maintain some more attention, then we can start our meditation. Tonight everybody has been here before, good. So we can straight away do our meditation. So, oh, very good. Means today you can meditate more. I give you half an hour. So very good session. So half an hour, start our ringing the bell. So if you need to train your mind, you train. You need to decondition your heedless thinking, you go ahead. If you already trained, you know how to meditate, you just relax, silent. Yeah. Once your spiritual faculties are there and stable, you can meditate easily. The meditative mind is very, very natural. It will just settle down very fast. Yeah. Initially, you may need to train. Then after that, as it stabilizes, then you realize you no need to train. Then you can just go into anapanasati or relax, silent, then you will stay there. Because the mind that is trained listen to you. You want it to be at the abdomen, it will be at the moon. You want it at the forehead, it will be at the forehead. You want it to rest at the heart area, silent, it will be there. So it's up to you. Then when you can stabilize until the anapanasati is so fine, so stable, so still, then you just stay there. Yeah. then let things be. You will start to develop a lot of understanding. Then the silent mind will understand many things. Then finally it will connect to you, to the heart area, where you will know how to relax, silent, and allow that nature to just detect whatever gateway that is around there. Yeah. When you just silent, relax, without any thought, when you can stay quiet, your mind become the meditative mind. It become very quiet, very still, and very subtle. And the Buddha call it pasati. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind, the quiet mind, the mind that is in sati, without movement, without thought, without activity. And that is the mind that can understand many, many things. That is the mind that can meditate. So when you stay there, it will be very sensitive. It can detect whatever fine movement, vibration. So everything that goes on within your form and mind, it can be aware of it. So just do that. Now I will let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell in about 30 minutes time. also still want to meditate, you can continue. Put yourself in now, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the mind states that you have developed and trained. And we need this mind that is already heedful and mindful, silent and still, to meditate. So you have to bring forth this continuous mindfulness of silent mind into your daily life, into your daily activity, so that you can live with that life. When your mind becomes very quiet and very still, without thought, then it is very, very near the true mind. Then after a while, when you have stabilized this ability to be quiet, peaceful and still, not in absorption or concentration, but in pure awareness, and such a mind is the meditative mind, that is the silent mind. That is the mind that you need to use and live life. Develop the ever mindful state of mind to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma, cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the insight into phenomena, to develop understanding, wisdom. And that is the ultimate meditation, daily mindfulness. You cultivate sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the present moment. Then together with that, after you have stabilized it, you cultivate the four foundations. And such a mind that is already trained is very different. That mind is very quiet, very peaceful, still and silent. It is fully aware, fully awake. And when you can embed that state to cultivate the understanding of the teaching, which is the Noble Eightfold Path, with special focus on the four foundations of mindfulness, then you will progress very fast. You will understand things very fast. And that is the real meditation. Okay, now we will continue with our invocation to the devas. Turn to page 6 of your chanting book. I will read to you the English translation. Then after that, we will invoke the Pali. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Okay, Ingbi, you can start now.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagga Mokkadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Baddanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayang Baddanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas
namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas namo tas bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhas iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati tadeva manosanam buddho bhagavati svakato bhagavata dhammo sandittiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanayiko pacatang veditambo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ujupatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho nyāyapatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho samīcipatipanno bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho yadidāṁ cattari purisa yukāni atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato sāvakasāṅgho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjalikaraneyo anuttarang puñyakirtang lokasati sadhu 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 okay let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Bedang pujim Damang pujemi Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah? Alright. So tonight, like I promised you all, we will go through this Krishnamurti notes. We should thank Sister Padmasuri, Engbi, and Alicia for arranging it. Mainly Sister Padmasuri, who has helped print this Krishnamurti code. There are two codes down there. Then we have actually used the Kayanamita fund. I think Suya need to reimburse. Small amount also must reimburse. We use Kayanamita fund to print. Then after that, we can develop the sharing. This is meant for sharing by the Thursday class, Tuesday class, and Sunday class. All this come about because of condition. All of a sudden, like, everything fall into place. Very strange. The last few sessions, the Tuesday class, the Sunday class, and even the earlier on Thursday class. We were going through the sharing, and a lot of the sharing touch on the self nature. Especially when we go through the Diamond Sutta and the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Then in the Thursday class, we talk about meditation. You look at the whiteboard. You remember last Thursday? Brother, what is his name? Pang. He asked a very good question. He wanted to understand what that self nature is. Spiritual nature. Because he read through the green book. Who are you? What are you? Then I don't know why those who read, they all ask me the same question. Those who really want to understand, because when they reach that part where the karmic nature they can understand, but when they come to the spiritual nature, then they read the next line. I mentioned in the book, not everybody, every living being that come, they have perfected that spiritual nature. So he is the third person who asked me the same question. He said, Brother, what do you mean by that? So not many people understand. So that so-called spiritual nature or true nature, some they use the word self-nature. The word is not appropriate because it may denote a self and a sadhana. But if you understand, whatever word you use is okay. So when you're going through this, what they call Diamond Sutta, Surangama Sutta, Diamond Sutta, there was a part in this, I think it's the second chapter, after the introduction, the first chapter, first or second chapter, when Subhati, after the Buddha came back from Pinnapat, said that, then Subhati actually is very wise. He is one of the disciple, close disciple of the Buddha, who has perfected the three. They call it elders. So elders, there are three meaning. One is elder by seniority, means how long you have been a monk. Theravada tradition is when they call you a Thera, means you are one of the elders. And normally they refer to more than 20 years of monkhood or ordination. But in the Mahayana tradition, there are three types of Thera with seniority. First is the youngest is called the, I don't know whether junior or what, they call this the not so senior Thera. This is those who have ordained 10 years, but less than 20 years. Then the middle one is those who are more than 20 years, but less than 30 years. Then the most senior are the ones that are more than 30 years of monkhood. So that one is by definition due to your seniority. Then the other two is your perfection and your parami. So you are the Thera because you have perfected the understanding of the Dhamma. The Dhamma is already very well perfected. Then the third type of Thera is because of their virtue. Their special quality of mind, love, compassion, and all the other great virtues. So this type of Thera are also very well respected. But Subhati has all the three. That's why he's very special. And even though Sakyamuni, that time when he finished the Pinnapat, have his food, then clean himself up, get ready, visited. The moment he said Subhati, because he has this special mindfulness and ability to see and understand, he realized the Buddha at that time, during that interval, he has delivered the profound Dhamma, the Diamond Sutta type of profound Dhamma that has got no mark, without any trace of a mark, to the higher beings. That's why Subhati was very, very excited and very happy. There was so much joy, and he immediately respectfully arise from the assembly. Even though the assembly was not that many people, but in the sutta, they mention billions among the billions of audience. Subhati stand up. Then we discuss why is it called in the sutta there are billions. Because the assembly was attended by not only human beings, the non-humans are a lot. So that's why billions. And you cannot understand, sometimes you simply make comment on the Mahayana Sutta. You say, what type of rubbish is this type of sutta, billions, you say, during that time. So you cannot understand, it's better to have an open mind. Do not simply comment just because you use thought or logic. So among the audience of billions, Subhati respectfully arise then, following the ceremony, their traditional way of respect to the Buddha. Their right shoulder exposed, then they pay respect. Then it was explained in the sutta how that respect was done. Then Reverend Elder Subhati invited the Buddha to explain to the assembly how should we conduct ourselves if we want to determine to walk the path of bodhisattvaship or Buddhahood. Means we want to take the vow of a bodhisattva to cultivate sammasambuddhahood. Then he asked the question, how should one dwell if you want to walk this way? Then the second part, he used the word, how should one subdue one's mind, which is so heedless and so full of defilement and negativity. So because of that, the whole teaching start and come about. Then in the Platform Sutta also same, at the Sunday class. You remember the sixth patriarch when he met with the fifth patriarch at the ninth, before he received the patriarchship. Fifth patriarch just expounded to him a short part on the Diamond Sutta, the essence of it. He described to him about the self nature, the true nature, the spiritual nature, the Buddha nature, the eternal nature, the oneness nature. When fifth patriarch was describing all those things, Hui Neng can understand very easily, because he actually has cultivated from the past and he knew what that thing was. But when he came to one part, when Fifth Patriarch mentioned the secret of all this understanding is to develop this understanding, that mundane mind, the conditioned arising mind, and this true mind, these two are different minds. But you have to have the understanding and the wisdom to use them and yet not deluded by them. The moment he mentioned that, Hui Neng came to great enlightenment, great awakening. That's why beings of this type of capacity are very rare. Then just now in the car while we were driving over to meet you all for dinner, some of you are at this Subang place with Suyan Mi Fong Liao. We were discussing something in the car, Alicia was with me. So this was the same part that we touched on. How come certain being like Hui Ning, he was born without the mundane mind. He actually have this mind. And he actually can understand all this. But when he was a woodcutter, before he heard the Diamond Sutta, he cannot understand. You got the point or not? That's why certain cultivator, among our Kayamita, in certain life, they cultivate their mind transform until like Hui Ning. But they cannot penetrate because they didn't hear the truth. Then like Hui Ning, because he was born like that, the moment he hear the first truth before even he met the fifth patriarch, when people recite the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away come to the first awakening. And to him it's like, he can understand it easily, and he like awakened. He understood what the Diamond Sutta was trying to say and explain. Means his mind already like that, it doesn't dwell on anything, and there was clarity. That's why the moment he went to the fifth patriarch, he tried to impress the fifth patriarch after he explained who recommended him and where he come from. He was a southerner. So fifth patriarch said, oh, you are a southerner, so you are illiterate. But during that time in China, they use a more offensive word in the sense that they call them barbarian. When you are illiterate and don't have proper manner, they call you barbarian. So Hui Ning's reply was very good. He said, human being, we got north and south. But when it comes to self-nature or Buddha nature or the true nature, there is no difference. There is no northerner and southerner. Then after that, the fifth patriarch actually say, okay, you can go to the what they call the back there, and settle down. Then after that, they will assign duty to him. But he tried to impress the fifth patriarch. He said, his mind is very different now, is it? The mind is constantly with that true nature, is it? The self nature. And when it stay there, it can understand many, many things, is it? A lot of understanding keep on arising. Then fifth patriarch actually knew what he went through. But in order to protect him, because he's a southerner. So most of those who are there, they are all educated and from the north, and they are quite, it's a different type of people. So he just tell Hui Ning, he said, okay, you talk too much, you go to the kitchen straight away. That's how he landed in the kitchen. Then later on, at that night, when he received this, again, another Diamond Sutta verse. See, this type of Sutta, Mahayana Sutta, like in the introduction of the Diamond Sutta I mentioned, you must listen to the first sharing, the introduction. That one is a very important one. I explained very clearly and I summarized the whole Diamond Sutta, the 32 chapter and all those things. Actually, this Diamond Sutta is for great beings, for those who really want to become Sammasambuddha. This is a sutta that doesn't have much Dhamma inside there. He didn't teach you how to cultivate one. The essential Dhamma are not mentioned one. He only explained to you to walk the path of Bodhisattva, to cultivate, to become Sammasambuddha. You must cultivate with a mind that is of that capacity or caliber. But he don't teach you how. But the funny part about this sutta is those who already cultivate before, those who already have that nature and ability to understand, the moment they hear them, they understand. That's why, if you can recall, in many of the sharing, I said Mahayana Sutta, they are written by enlightened being for enlightened being to understand. So now you understand. Yeah. Written by enlightened being. That's why only enlightened being can understand. So if you are not awakened yet, you use the knowledge, you will get into big trouble. Then you will have a lot of knowledge. Then you have a lot of argument. Then you will tend to believe that Mahayana Sutta cannot be. Everything is completely opposite of what the world understands. But you look at the Theravada Sutta, you will also come to understand another point that the Buddha mentioned. When you develop awakening, when you cultivate and become an enlightened being, you become Aryas. Aryas are noble beings, noble ones who are enlightened. So they got the first stage of sainthood, Sotapanna. Second stage of sainthood, Sakadagami. Then third stage is Anagami and Arahanta. All these, they have different names. But even the first stage of sainthood, you know what the Buddha named him? Stream Entra. Why is it a stream entra? Because all these enlightened beings, they go against the stream, understand? You normal one follow the flow of the stream. But this one go against the flow. Understand? That's why their understanding is opposite of what the mundane people understand, what the worldly people understand. To you, everything is like very real, very permanent, can bring about a lot of happiness, joy. That's why you attach, you cling, and you grab. Then you believe this is you. But the enlightened one, they go against the stream. That's why they awaken and realize everything is not what the living being think. You are not who you think you are or what you think you are. That's why it's anatta, non-self, empty nature. Then everything is impermanent, but to us it's so real, so solid, so tangible. Then we only look at happy moments, things that can make us happy, fulfillment and all those things, success. Then to us, is the world is like initially full of happiness. Because in your youth, you don't have this problem of old age sickness. You don't even think of death. But for those who awaken, they understand the first noble truth reality very clearly. This is the noble truth that describes to you the realities of life and existence. The noble truth of dukkha. When you confront this eight reality without understanding, without the wisdom and the Dhamma, you will suffer. Affliction will arise. So to them, they see clearly the characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature. But the conventional people cannot. So this is from the Theravada teaching. So when you cannot understand Mahayana teaching or the higher teaching, don't use your mundane mind or knowledge to try to reason, because that will actually create a lot of karmic obstruction and unnecessary karmic blockage. In future, you will have to work on all this karmic obstruction and blockage to clear. That's why it's not easy. So even beings who have cultivated until that level, without this sutta, or without this clear understanding of the teaching, if there is no Sammasambuddha or enlightened being to guide you, to share with you, you still cannot awaken because you need condition. So all these are the conditions that bring forth this direct teaching of Huining. Where Huining points to the true mind, to the true nature, to the direct seeing. He bypassed the mundane mind the thinking mind, the condition arising mind. That's why he is not interested in what sensu did. You remember? Sensu before him, the poem. Because sensu dwell at the mundane mind level. He failed to understand the true mind, the true nature. So he thought the mind that he was using, the mundane mind, was the true mind. That's why he said, this mind is like a mirror bright on a stand. So he used mindfulness to polish it until it shines so that no dust can alight. Then he said, the body is like a bohi tree because the four foundations of mind. So all these are the initial teaching, Theravada teaching, for you to cultivate through mindfulness. But as long as you hold on to that mind, even in its purest state, you think that is your true mind, then you are being deceived. It's just like Ananda got trapped in the Surangama Sutta when the Buddha asked him, where is your mind? He couldn't find. Even the second Patriarch also couldn't find. Then there were conditions for him to receive the Patriarchship. That's why he awakened after that. So all these are related to the condition for tonight's sharing. And Jay Krishnamurti quote just came in time for you to understand how to cultivate with that true mind, with that pure awareness, with the sati. So what I want to share is this silent mind, the meditative mind. When you train this mundane mind, condition arising mind, thinking mind, the moment this is silent, you will experience the true mind, the silent mind, that is in paucity. This is the mind that is without thought, and this is the one you have to meditate. That's why just now in the Diamond Sutta, when they asked Sakyamuni, how should a cultivator who determined to take this Bodhisattva way to become Sammasambuddha, how should he dwell? All of Theravada teaching will tell you what. How you should dwell. You study Satipatthana Sutta. Dwell in the four foundation of mindfulness, isn't it? But that one to me is as good as not telling me anything. Because how do you dwell? Four foundation of mindfulness. What is that? Because that four foundation of mindfulness, you can only go into it and cultivate when you have developed what? This is the one, heedfulness. All the while the Buddha has been stressing on this, all over the teaching. And all the while I have been sharing this and trying to make people understand. If you don't have this, you cannot dwell, understand? You dwell, your thought is, the mind has a lot of dwelling. The mind must not have any dwelling. Understand? So when you are heedful, you are not dwelling. So the Mahayana Sutta, they use the word, how should you dwell? Because it started from the mundane mind. You have dwelling. So people thought they must dwell. But the true teaching is, when you are heedful, you are aware, you don't dwell. You're just silent, aware. It doesn't dwell. Dwell means holding, heedless, lost in thought. You are not with the self nature. You are no longer aware. You are no longer with the silent mind. So the Buddha started by answering, you should dwell with your true nature. Oh, that one is very clear there. Means you should dwell with the true mind, the heedful mind, that is aware. Not dwell on the mundane mind, thinking mind, conditionalizing mind. So this is the message that is the most important that cultivator need to understand. So that's why I saw the condition. Then my nature was telling me, how come all these things just fall into place and just happen simultaneously? Especially Jay Krishnamurti quote. Then, like, this nature always want to share and teach. where this is the direct teaching. The moment you understand this, you penetrate very fast. You progress very fast. So tonight you listen attentively. Okay, I will read to you all Jai Krishnamurti's definition of awareness. Actually, in the email initially I sent to Pamasuri, the short one. You look at your note at the bottom there. Awareness or sati or mindfulness is the one. Silent, choiceless observation of what is. This is the short definition. But in the appendix of the Heart Sutta short note, you remember last time we went through, there is a longer one. I read to you. This one I sent later. That's why I think Pamasuri didn't receive this. Okay, you listen. Yes, I asked her, I said, dear Sister Pamasuri, do you have space to include the whole definition as per below? I think she missed some of this email. Never mind. Anyway, I read to you. So awareness is the silent and choiceless observation of what is. Then after that, Krishnamurti continued, in this awareness, the problem unfolds itself. Because when you are silent and just aware, the phenomena will tell you the story. It will unfold itself. You will understand. You will insight into it. You will awaken to it. And thus it is fully and completely understood. Not through the thought. Not through the conditioned mind. Not according to your views and opinion or conditioning. Then he continued. He said, a problem is never solved on its own level. Being complex, it must be understood in its total process. To try to solve a problem on only one level, physical or psychological, leads to further conflict and confusion. For the resolution of a problem, there must be this awareness. You listen, this awareness, this passive alertness, which reveals its total process. This passive alertness is choiceless awareness. When you don't react, don't judge, don't stir, don't make any comment or choice. And that's silent, within that silent, it will awaken. That's why you can recall my advice. When you cultivate, don't try to know. Train your mind to be as quiet as it can be, as still as it can be. Just now, meditation, how many of you can feel the stillness? So little. There must be a lot more because it was so still for a very long period. That type of mind is a different mind. And you can have that condition because there are quite a number of Kayanamita who is in that state. So when you have that understanding and ability, you can experience all those mind states. So this is why Jai Krishnamurti quote, he is very wise, but the problem with him is he can share with you because he understands. But he don't have Dhamma like Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why he cannot put it into teaching. He only share with you. So you have to reflect, contemplate, and go into it yourself. That's why he say, together, we investigate. Together, we go into this. You have to develop that understanding through your own investigation. Just like the Buddha said, he can only show you the way. You have to walk the path yourself. But Jai Krishnamurti one is more difficult because he don't have a sasana. He don't have the Sammasambuddha nature to teach this to you. So that's why if you combine the Buddha Dharma, the teaching, together with with his code or what he tell you, then you can penetrate very fast, because the advantage of his sharing is his teaching is to cater for modern people, modern era, where he use modern words. He only use one terminology. He like thought. He said, you have to understand thought. Yeah. How thought divide, how thought delude and has power over you, and how all those create conflict, attachment, clinging, grasping, delusion. So all this, the way he share, he use words that are modern in terminology. But if you understand what he is trying to share with you, if you have already awakened and developed the understanding, then you will rejoice, because he is indeed very, very wise. Yeah. So now I will read to you the two Krishnamurti codes so that you can develop the understanding. The first code is on the grief of self-centered sorrow. You know what is self-centered, huh? Yeah? What is self-centered? Sakaya ditti. Self is the atta. Understand? So self-centered sorrow is sorrow born of sakaya ditti, because of the self. And Sakyamuni Buddha summarized the first noble truth. All of suffering arise due to what? Yeah? Your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto the five degrees of form of mind, thinking this is you. And this is what he mean by self-centered sorrow. That's why the same definition. Self-centered sakaya ditti leads to sorrow, leads to suffering. That's why the five aggregates of grasping, they are dukkha. Mm. So I will read to you. Huh? Oh, this one is very long. Okay, don't worry. Yeah. You go to the top part, the grief of self-centered sorrow. Krishnamurti says how little attention we pay to things about us. To observe and to consider. So this is a very powerful statement. Now we discuss this. Do you agree with what he say? Huh? Do you agree with what he say? How little attention we pay to things about us, to observe and to consider. But you seldom aware. That's why you seldom observe. Understand or not? Or pay attention. And because of that, you have to check with mindfulness throughout the day, what are you doing? Moment to moment life passes by, what are you doing? Are you attentive? Are you silent to observe what is going on, to understand what is going on? Are you aware of what is going on? Means are you with yourself, nature, or true nature? The awareness within. Are you mindful? If you are hardly aware or mindful, then what are you doing? You are lost in thought. Too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life, reacting to life, and doing all these funny things. That is what I share with you. But you look at Krishnamurti. He also say the same thing, except he use his own word. Yeah? He say, how little attention we pay to things about us. Means you don't really know who you are, what you are, because you never pay attention. You just continue to be heedless and do all those funny things. And the most dangerous thing that living being ever do is, he said, we are so self-centered. Agree or not? Everything also the me and the I. Yeah? My loved one, my property, my wealth, yeah? My whatever, career, reputation. We are so self-centered and we think for ourselves, advantage to us or not advantage to us, for me or not for me. Yeah? Your possession and all those things, your race, your religious belief and all those things. You are so self-centered. Then the next one is what? So occupied with your worries. Agree or not? Like I always share, everything also worry. When you yourself, as you grow up, you have your problems. There is enough worry already. Yeah? You worry about your health, your future, your potential, your business, your career, your relationship, and so many things. Then later on, not only you, you worry about your loved one, your children, your spouse, your parents. Then later on, not only them, your grandchildren also you worry. You're scared you haven't planned enough for them. That's why you got so much problem, so occupied with your worries. Then all your financial situation, your unpaid bill, and you worry about your health, your loved one's health, their financial situation, their relationship in life, their career, their future, and all those things. Then you worry about your property, your car, things that you think you own. So all this is full of suffering. So Krishnamurti said, we are so self-centered, so occupied with our worries, with our benefits. He missed out the word fear. Yeah? So occupied with our worries. So you should add in fear, anxiety. Yeah? Then he said, with our own benefit. Benefit means what? For me or not for me. Understand or not? Advantages or not. That's why selfishness will arise. Then we have no time to, what is it? Observe and understand. Means you are never mindful, never heedful, you never observe anything. Understand? That's why you are never heedful. You're always thinking, heedlessly lost in thought, sad, worry. But the teaching is the opposite. Understand? The teaching say what? When you come to Dhammanupassana, that one I think those who attend Sunday class they will know. Mindfulness of the seven factors of enlightenment. The first one, when there is no mindfulness, you must be aware. Means what? When you are heedless, without mindfulness, when the enlightenment factor of sati is not there, you must be aware. Then only you cultivate it. But what do you see in the real life? All the cultivators, they say they do vipassana, form foundation of mindfulness. They are not even aware that they are without mindfulness. When you are without mindfulness, means you are heedless. That's why you have to be aware the moment you are heedless. When the mindfulness enlightenment factor is not there, you must have the mindfulness awareness to be aware that you are already heedless. Lost in thought. And that is the number one thing you have to do. And all the so-called vipassana people, you can go and check with them. You ask them, are you aware when there is no enlightenment factor or sati? The problem is, what is sati also they don't know. And that is the worst. Then, throughout the day, heedlessly lost in thought, thinking in the name of contemplation and all those things. Then worry about this, worry about that, reacting to all the sense experience. Means the basic initial first step of mindfulness of the seven factor of enlightenment also not there. Then the second enlightenment factor is what? Then the enlightenment factor of Dhamma Vichaya or Dhamma investigation is not there. You have to be aware. How many of them do that? this seldom investigate Dhamma. You have to investigate with the silent mind, sati, awareness, the three turning, especially the second. Then the second part is, when this unarisen factor of enlightenment of mindfulness has arisen, you must be aware. Then not only that, no, after that, Ingbi asked me that question, you know, how you develop to perfection, no? How completion about culture that sati has been developed. That's why you have to develop the awareness also. And you know how it come about. Then how you have completed it by culture. All this. Have you ever heard them teaching you all this? The four foundations of mindfulness. That's why I say, that day, that sutta, that's why I brought along this book. Later, if I got time, I read to you. Luckily, that day, I got 16 great questions. And all this were the condition that meant to be, supposed to be. And that day, you know what happened or not. Later, I read to you, you will rejoice. The bird was chirping so loudly, you know, you asked them. Recorded, very loud inside there. And immediately after the class, Ingbi straight away put out the hand and request for permission to do the transcript. I say, Sadhu, I say, you should do, because this one is very important. Even as I share, I say, make sure it's recorded. If it's not recorded, it's gone. Meant to be. Then they go and check. They say, recorded. Then after that, Miss Lee want to adjust. So I say, don't touch. Because you touch, it's gone again. Then, you know, not only the bird chief, no, after that, it was thunder after thunder as the sharing was going on. And the thunder was so for so long, until towards the end, when you want to do meditation, straight away, stop everything. And the nature was like just now meditating, so still, the 15 minutes. Yeah. That's how all this is meant to be. Then all this come about is because this understanding has to come. And now is the book almost ready? Should be finished before the end of the month or latest first week. Then Krishnamurti could come. Everything come. And in the car just now, you know, Alicia was telling me, he said, Brother Teo, by now, with all this sharing and this Krishnamurti code, everybody should understand what sati is and how to cultivate and how to develop the ability to dwell. Those who understand, they will know, because everything was already shared, so beautiful, so complete. So now you listen. We go on. I repeat the first two sentences. The grief of self-centered sorrow, that is the title. Krishnamurti say how little attention we pay to things about us, to observe and to consider. That's why you can never understand who you are, what you are. You are not mindful, you are not heedful. The reason being is that we are so self-centered, so occupied with our worries. I add in the word fear. Fear, worry, and anxiety. Anxiety also, you can add it in if you want to. With our own selfish benefits. So much so, we have got no time to observe and to understand. I put it in a different way, remember? When I ask you, moment to moment, life passes by, what are you doing? I use the word, you are so busy thinking, planning, worrying, reacting to life. So much so, you never leave life. You miss out on life. Never leave means what? Never mindful, never heedful, never with the moment to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. And that part, Krishnamurti did mention. But he say, more important one, about the cultivation one. You have no time to observe and understand, means develop the Dhamma investigation, to meditate, to awaken. But he couldn't put it in the meditative words. So this is what you mean by, if you are not heedless, you are heedful. When you are heedful, you are mindful, you are aware. When you are aware, you can observe. Then you can understand, you can awaken. Because when you are silent, means what? You are aware of what is going on. And when you are aware, there is clarity. So then you understand. You understand according to reality, not according to what your mind tell you, your conditioning tell you, your belief system tell you. This one you are not observing. That's why you remember, I used to share the art of listening. The art of listening and the art of observation is the same. When you listen with a conditioned mind, you are not listening at all. Is that not? Because you don't have an open mind. Your glass is full. Whatever people say, you compare with your memory, with your opinion, with your views and your knowledge. So this one is the one you use to judge, to command, to react, right or wrong. Means what? You are not listening. If you are listening, you put away all your conditioning or your memory. You listen with attentiveness. Then if it's the truth, you will understand. Because it will synchronize with your nature. And you will understand. This is what really happened in life. But if it's not the truth, it's based on knowledge which is in conflict with the truth, you listen, you also understand. This is not the Dhamma. This is not reality. This is heedless knowledge, deluded knowledge. That's how you know how to understand, listen, and observe. Your mind must be silent. The quality of mind must be there. It is only the true mind, the silent mind, that can understand. Because the truth is beyond thought, beyond word, beyond concept. So this understanding is very important. So now we can go on. This occupation makes our mind dull and weary. You agree or not? When you are so preoccupied, all your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. Your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety. The three evil roots are all there. That's why this type of occupation makes your mind dull and weary. Sakyamuni Buddha say you become heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. Then Krishnamurti continue. He said, not only make your mind dull and worry, full of sorrow, frustrated and sorrowful. And from sorrow, what you do? You want to escape. You want to find answer. You're really suffering. Financial problem, health problem. Then you try to find solution. And what is your solution? Short term one. Because it's not with understanding one. You don't like develop the understanding so that you can be free from it once and for all. Like depression. What solution they seek? Finally, no choice, they see psychiatrist. Then take all the medication. Then a lot of those things are temporary. It doesn't root out the problem. Then later on, they will get into it again. So this is what living beings are doing. So Krishnamurti said, as long as the self is active, means what? Your self-delusion, sakkayaditi. That mundane mind is egoic, you know why or not? Because it is always thinking with a delusion. You think there is a person inside there who lives this life, who thinks this thought, who is emotional, who is unhappy or happy or angry or fearful, where you believe this is you. That's why as long as the center, the self is there, sakkayaditi is there, sorrow will be there. So Krishnamurti also used the same one, is it? As long as the self is active, there must be verily dullness and frustration and sorrow. People are caught in the mad race, in the grief of self, centered sorrow. You see? How beautifully worded. This sorrow is deep, thoughtlessness. What is thoughtlessness? Oh, heedlessness. He used the word deep thoughtlessness. No? It's deep heedlessness. No? Then, the thoughtful, the watchful are free from? Oh, this is what? This is heedfulness. This is mindfulness. That's why he's explaining the same thing. Means those who are thoughtful or mindful and watchful, they are free from sorrow. Because when you are mindful, heedful, and aware of what is going on, then nobody is so deluded as to get himself entangled again. The best person to ask is Alicia. You have 15 years of depression. Now, he understands the thought inside out. That's why she become very heedful, because she determined all this enough. 15 years enough, no more. When you wake up, it's like that. You no longer like before, because all this cannot deceive you anymore, cannot delude you, because you see it inside out so clearly. That's why that mindfulness, that thoughtfulness, the heedfulness, the watchfulness, the awareness. The moment that thought arises, she already aware. That's why that mindfulness is very powerful. That's why the moment you are aware that you are heedless, deluded, fearful, or greedy, selfish, the evil roots are there, it will make you evil, you will fall, you straight away reverse. That's why Krishnamurti say, the awareness of inattention is attention. The moment you are aware that you are heedless, you are already aware. That's why awareness is very important. Thoughtfulness, mindfulness. Yeah. So this first part is the deep one, without description one. Then later on, somebody asked him to explain what is awareness in more specific. And this second one is more interesting. The second part, you cannot be totally aware if you are choosing. You understand the title or not? Yeah? You understand the title or not? When you are choosing, judging, reacting, how can you be totally aware? Understand or not? Means you are preoccupied with what you do. Because you are judging, comparing, right or wrong. Understand or not? Should be like that or like that? Like some of you all ask question, brother, I do like that, correct? Oh? Wherever there is choice, there is confusion. Why must you ask all these things? What did I tell you? Just do. Don't try to know. Means have faith. Be sincere. Persevere. The Dhamma will be there. You will awaken. That's why just have faith, be sincere, just persevere too. But you can ask questions. Doesn't mean you cannot ask. You ask questions to develop understanding, to clarify. Then to develop the sharing, the contemplative wisdom. These are what you should do. Well, when you are focused, when you understand, when you are mindful, you listen, you understand. You will ask the right thing. Otherwise, you are continuously in your old pattern. The old pattern of what? Yeah? Self-delusion, sakayaditi. That's why habitual tendency, you repeat all those questions. Brother, I do like that. Correct? I can see this, I can see that. But you never listen to what brother say. You are here to meditate, to train your mind, to develop heedfulness. Are you doing that? Every time I have to ask back that question, no? Then they look at me. Then they smile. I don't know whether they understand or not. Because what is being stressed and repeated so many times is as if they didn't really listen. No? And with all this book and transcript, you don't read and understand. You repeat your habitual tendency and ask that type of question again. This is what I say you can be cultivating for 30, 40 years. You will still remain the same. Because you never really understand. You must meditate with understanding. You must cultivate with understanding. Understanding means what? Understand the Buddha's teaching. The essential Dhamma. What is the message from the Buddha? Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23 emphasize on this one. Heedfulness. And guarantee you, the moment you are heedful, you are home. You are already destined for enlightenment. And before the Buddha passed away, again he said, Appamadeta, Sampadeta. And you somewhat want to do. And this is the most important, to be heedful. That's right, to be watchful, to be aware, to observe, not to think and not to lose yourself in all this emotion, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. When all those things grip you, you become heedless. You lost consciousness. You become sorrowful. You are preoccupied with your sadness, your sorrow. Then how can you observe? How can you be watchful? How can you understand what is going on? But when you are aware of your suffering, that is totally different, understand? That's why in the midst of those who are in depression, you can be aware of your suffering. You will wake up. You will determine, this is not what I want. This is not life. This is hell. Understand? Then you start to be heedful and train your mind. The trained mind is so different. Later on, I will read to you. The trained mind is so beautiful. Oh, hopefully enough time. We have to go through a bit faster. Okay. You cannot be totally aware if you are choosing. So this one you understand. That's why you have to be completely silent. Without thought. Just aware. Watchful. Observe. There's an awareness before the knowing. Awareness isn't something mysterious, Krishnamurti said, that you must practice. Now you understand why you don't practice mindfulness or awareness. It's not something for you to practice, understand? The moment you are silent, you're already aware. But he got no Dhamma, he cannot teach you, understand? He don't even tell you about the five hindrances. He don't even tell you about the five spiritual faculties. That's why very difficult to understand him. But he already got this past cultivation when he come as a kid. After he cultivated not long, he become aware by himself. He's like winning. But he can only use words and share with you, explain to you. But without the Dhamma, it's very difficult to understand him. So what he says is very beautiful. Awareness isn't something mysterious that you must practice. It isn't something that can be learned only from the speaker. Now you listen, this one is very, very interesting. Or from some bearded gentleman or others. All that kind of fanciful stuff is too absurd or childish. Just to be aware, what does it mean? And now you listen. What does it mean? To be aware that you are sitting. We use the word here. And I am sitting here. To be aware that you are sitting there. Correct. This one is correct. And I am sitting here. That's why the Buddha say what? Sitting, aware. Standing, aware. Walking, aware. Lying down, aware. So simple. Why must practice? That's all. Body and mind as one, attentive. That's it, no thought. You already aware. Why must practice nothing? Standing. Like that, you create more thought, more verbalization. And you think that is mindfulness. You think that is awareness. How can you live life when you are verbalizing like that? Then when you want to cross the road, seeing, nothing, walking, sure accident or anything. Because that is not the way to cultivate sati. Sati, you don't stop. You don't slow down the mind. Understand or not? You don't slow down your action. You slow down the mind. Understand or not? You slow down your thinking. That is the real mindfulness. So we go on. To be aware, just to be aware, what does it mean? To be aware that you are sitting there and I'm sitting here. that I'm talking to you and you are listening to me. This one you can relate, right? Because it's happening now. You just silent, you will have that understanding. Understand not? Because you are attentive. Then what else? To be aware of this hall, Brother Suya, name me for house. How many of you came in aware of what is inside here? Without word, just observe. That's why when the Buddha Rupang is in whatever shape or what, you will know that who offer what, you aware. But if you are preoccupied with your thought, your worry, you come in like you never come in. You never look around. You never observe. You never see anything. This is what heedlessness is all about. Where you come in, kanyong, and want to sit down. Oh, get the book, everything. You are all focused, self-centered with the thought. Because you are busy thinking, what must I do? Puja start already or not? All these are your thoughts going on now. But when you are observing with awareness and heedful, even before the puja start, you observe all these things. You observe how people do all these things. Then you observe even how I speak and how I do my thing. You will understand. And to do that, you must have a mind that is silent, not thinking. Understand? Not with the habitual tendency of. You go and check yourself. I don't know how to explain to you. But this is 30, 40 years ago, my mind do like that. Now, it has not been doing like that for the last 30, 40 years. So you have to find out yourself. Because it's very difficult for me to describe that thing. But based on what Krishnamurti has written, if I explain, you will understand. So what is happening is, you have to be aware of this house. We use the word house. Its shape, its lighting, its acoustic. Maybe this one you don't need to. We are not much acoustic here. You observe the Buddha Rupang, the offering. Then you observe the house with the poster, everything. Then you observe the layout, the design. You are architect or ID, like PJ. These are the things that will interest you. Then you observe. Then you're a mechanical guy. You look at the aircon. You look at how Suyan fix this electrical thing. You tend to have that understanding. Then you will be observant of all those things. But you must have general mindfulness and awareness, spacious awareness, to be aware, to feel. And to do that, you have to be quiet, silent. Without this ability, you cannot observe. If you are busy thinking, worrying, planning, you are heedless. There is no observation at all. There is no mindfulness at all. Then we go on to observe the various color that people wear, what shirt and all those things. But don't go and remember. Aware. Their attitude, their effort to listen, their scratching, their yawning, don't have a. Their sleepiness or boredom, their dissatisfaction, this one you have to observe, and not being able to get from what they hear something to carry home for them, their agreement and disagreement. This is the worst, I tell you. You are comparing with what? Your views and your opinion and your conditioning. Means agree or not with what is being spoken. Means you are not listening. You don't have an open mind, a free mind to listen with what is being said. All that is part of awareness, but a very superficial part, because this is only touching the surface. Understand? You have not gone in to the deeper aspect of sati. That's why sati got many, many levels of understanding. That's why the three levels of seeing, mundane seeing, supramundane seeing, the direct seeing. Then the third one is the transcendental seeing. You see beyond everything. There is no more right or wrong. No more duality. There is transcendental seeing. But most living beings are mundane seeing. They see, they don't observe. They see, they comment, they react, they think. Oh, then they get lost in thought, become heedless. And that is what they are doing. That's why every moment of sense experience, the light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, the reaction of mind. Then throughout the day you observe yourself, you realize that is not living. That is, to me, is suffering, misery, and etc. The habitual tendency of light and dislike, pleasant. That's why you don't have even a moment of equanimity in you, and etc. If you are not equanimous, you cannot be peaceful, understand? You cannot be peaceful, you are only happy. Got that type of gross materialistic happiness and joy, but you don't have the spiritual happiness of piti and sukha and true peace, santi. So all this, you will start to learn. Then we go to the second paragraph. This is more interesting. Behind that superficial observation, this is the real mindfulness. You observe your reaction to what you see, what you hear. This is the part I always talk about. This is the real mindfulness. Krishnamurti put it differently. He said, behind that superficial observation, there is the response of our conditioning. You know what is your conditioning, huh? Yeah? Your views and opinion, your tradition, your belief system, your right and wrong, and all these things. Yeah. So behind that superficial observation, there is the response of your conditioning. I like and I don't like. This is what your sensual desire and ill will is all about, the hindrance of mind. But he don't have the Dhamma, he don't teach you like that. Then he said, I am British. Are you aware of that conditioning? Or I'm a Chinese and you are not Chinese. Or I'm a Catholic and you are a Protestant. And our conditioning is really very deep, deep-rooted, because this is your tradition, your belief system, your conditioning since childhood. And when this is happening, what you do? It requires a great deal of investigation and understanding. See? You have to understand your own conditioning. Then only you can be free of it. Otherwise, you will become like habitual. You just react. Sometimes before your spouse even say anything, I say, stop, I know what you are going to tell me. Oh, then they argue like anything. All the same old thing come out. Understand? You think you're very good. Last time you also like that. Then your kid also tell you the same thing. I say, mommy, enough. Already enough. So all this is not having mindfulness, because you are entangled with the emotion, the anger, the hatred, the argument. You are like caught in a situation where you are too eager to discipline your child, understand? To make them listen to you, obey to you. Means what? You are not observing them. You are not trying to understand them. You are trying to control them, discipline them. That's why you end up in conflict, argument. But when you understand them and deal with them through understanding, they become very close to you. They like you. They love you because you understand them. Then you respect them, their life. You let them make their own decision. You only advise them as parents because you love them. You provide for them. You care for them. But you don't pamper them. That is Dhamma. That is mindfulness. That is awareness. Observing them. Understanding them. Not arguing with them. Not fighting with them. Not scolding and reprimanding them. All these lead to what? More and more argument, more and more conflict, more and more misunderstanding. Then next time, anything, they don't want to talk to you. They don't even want to share with you. They say, no point, my parents is like that one. Before I open my mouth, they scold me already. They say, tell you not to do, you do. Then they will tell you, in this world, who don't make mistake? Everybody also make mistake. Why only me? Why Cheche you don't scold? Why Coco you don't score? Why only me? So when you have all these type of questions coming back, you become more angry. So all this is heedlessness, understand? You are not mindful of your own conditioning and reaction that you have been doing all this for so long. And you have inflicted so much suffering to yourself and to others. And you still think you are a hell of a great Buddhist practicing for foundation of mindfulness, vipassana, everything. you can't even understand your own self, your own life. You can't even take care of what is happening in your own house. Then you say what? If you continue like that, I go temple. or I go retreat. Throw them at home. This is not the way of Dhamma. This is not the way to live life. When you have the Dhamma, you become so beautiful. You become so beautiful. You are so understanding. Your kids will all love you. You will have great, wonderful family unit and relationship. Yeah. There is so much harmony, so much love, so much understanding. So this is the true cultivation. Then we move on. It requires a great deal of investigation and understanding to be conscious of our reactions, see? Reaction to sense experience. This is what I've been telling you. Of our hidden motive, means your selfishness, your fear, your insecurity, your emotional negativity, your lust, your craving, your self-centeredness, all this, the hidden motive. And the conditioned response, this also is part of the awareness or sati. You cannot be totally aware if you are choosing. That's why what he's trying to tell you is, when you are lost in thought, preoccupied with something, then reacting, choosing, right or wrong, follow or not to follow, do or not do, right or wrong, is Brother Teo, am I doing it correctly? All this is heedlessness. So the condition response, all these are part of awareness. Then you cannot be totally aware if you are choosing. If you say this is right and that is wrong. The right and the wrong depend on your conditioning. That's why I always say right according to who, remember? So this is the same. Depend on your conditioning. If your conditioning is like that, then you say this is right. Right according to you. But to another fellow, different conditioning is wrong. Your children will say, no, mommy, this is not right. You go and buy me that special phone, that is right. Or let me play more computer, or don't control me so much, that is right. But to the parent, they thought discipline is the one that can make them a better person. But no amount of discipline can actually make the person a better person. What is discipline? Control, suppression, forcing him to do the thing that he don't like. You have to explain to him and let him understand. The moment he understands, you don't have to discipline him anymore or do anything. If he don't understand, you can forget about it because you're wasting your time. Understand? He is not in the state of mind to listen. There is no condition. Then let him do what he like. One day when he get himself into hot soup of deep trouble, that time you ask him, now you want to listen, you want to listen, you come. Then what is right to you may be wrong in the Far East. You believe in a savior, in Christ, but they don't. And you believe they will go to hell unless they believe as you do. You have the means to build marvelous cathedrals. Well, they may worship a stone image, a tree, a bird, or a rock, and you say, how silly, how pagan. It's just like the turtle, carrying the scripture. Human beings say, the turtle very stupid. Carry Tipitaka for so long, thousands of years, yet they don't understand the Tipitaka. The turtle laughed back. Only the foolish one think that the Dhamma is in the Tipitaka. So the Christian will laugh back. Still worshipping stone and all those things and the tree and all that. Then this Asian one who worship this one laugh back. So they don't know, this is my God. That one, fake one. That's why when you don't have awareness and understanding, you cannot come to terms with all this belief system, practices and all things. The third paragraph is the best. To be aware is to be conscious of all this that is going on. Choicelessly is the word. Understand? Means when you are observing, Don't react, don't comment, don't stir your mind, don't try to know. Just observe. When you are silent, you will understand. Because everything that arises through the silence is the truth. It's not from the thought, not from the conditioning, not from what you have been told. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. What is memory? Accumulated fear, accumulated selfishness, experiences good and bad, your phobia, your insecurity, your sorrow, your lamentation, your happy moment, they are all accumulated. So when you act according to this, you are acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your sorrow, your hatred, your anger, your whatever conditioning and belief system. Then how can you act? Yeah, these are all evil root. These are all conditioned state of mind. Good according to you. That's why you do a lot of foolish things. Then you say, I have done my best. Everything I do is for them, for they are good. But according to you. That is against the nature's law. And when it hit back and you become miserable, you say, why is God so unfair? Oh, then you blame everything. Because you cannot understand. So, heedfulness, mindfulness, will allow you to act with understanding and wisdom. Where you investigate, you observe, then you understand. When your mind is calm, peaceful, with the spiritual faculty, it is aware, it is silent, it has clarity. It don't have fear, worry, anxiety. It don't have hindrance. That's why there is clarity. There is faith, sadha, virya, sati. No fear, no worry. No. That's why it's in the position to understand what is going on. Then there is clarity. Then you can write down what is the reality that is happening. Then you don't have to arise the fear, like health problem or whatever problem. You just write it down. If this is the reality, how can I resolve it amicably so that I can move? Then you have the teaching, Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you act according to Noble Eightfold Path, means you act according to understanding. But this is the Dhamma that can bring about the end of all suffering. That's why when you have right view, you will never complain, react, or become fearful. You accept the reality. If it's karma, need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. That's how the teaching come about, where you have right view. Then you will continue to arise the right thought so that you will not be negative, selfish. Then you will arise the right speech, right action, and right livelihood. You will not do things that is harmful to anybody, not even to yourself and to others. That's why you can resolve things amicably. Then you ask yourself, what are my options? How can I resolve this amicably? There is nothing in this world that is a problem if you don't perceive it, fear and negativity. If you perceive them as the reality, then it becomes very easy. Because these are reality, like the Buddha mentioned. Each and every living being, you live life long enough, you have to confront them. If you confront them with delusion, suffering will arise. If you confront them with understanding, means what? You accept them for what they are. But these are the reality. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Body go the way of nature. So if I accept, I am at peace. I got no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety. I do not blame anymore. I do not get angry, emotional, fearful. I maintain my calmness, my demeanor. The beautiful understanding. And with this, there is clarity. Then I ask myself, what are my options? Then I act. With wisdom, with understanding, following the way of hope, then everything can be resolved. Need to ask for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. Need to talk to people nicely, appeal to people. Do it. Be sincere. Asana. Then you can help bring about harmony, changes, transformation. To be a blessing to all, you have the means, by all means. Do all the things that you can do. Yeah? Like to resolve issue amicably. If you can afford, you live a blameless life, then you help out. That's why in many cases, small issue, resolve it. Yeah? Then I got a friend who always say, whatever problem money can solve is not a problem. So he said, this is easy problem, good problem. Then some people, for no reason, to other people in that position, they will be very happy, you know, already very full of gratitude, you know, but they still complain. You know. He said, I got this big house. It's a problem. Cannot rent out. Nobody maintain. Complain. No. People want to own one small house also cannot. No. This one got big bungalow. Complain. No. Oh. Then my this friend, Seth, when he hear this, he said this is an easy problem. It's not a problem. Yeah? Sell it off. Lah. Money come in already. Huh? You complain, complain. Don't want to sell. Then why complain? Then after that they say, like they got this car, very nice. Aiyo, this car, buy already, seldom drive. Then once a while got to start, you don't start, got to send mechanic, pay money, complain some more. People want to buy one new car, nice car, so cannot afford. You got car, you complain. No? That's why these are the people who are not heedful at all. Understand? No? But it is because they have habitual tendency. They are wealthy, they got money. But they are just like that. No? So you also have to accept them for what they are. They will complain in front of you and ngam cham also. Understand? No? Then you say, easy problem, no? You pass to me. No? Tomorrow call the second-hand car dealer. Sell it off if you want to celebrate. I said, oh, your problem all gone on. Huh? Your bungalow, nobody maintain, all gone on. Huh? Some more complete assessment, so expensive. Electricity fuel, sell it all, lah. All this gone. So life is pretty simple if you understand. Okay, we go on. And you cannot be aware totally if you are condemning. If you are justifying, or you say, I will keep my belief, my experience, my knowledge. So all this is your movement, your activity in your thinking mind. Understand? No? That's why you become heedless. Yeah? And you will never know how to observe. Yeah. Okay, maybe we start from beginning. I will go through this one more time. To be aware, no, the third paragraph. To be aware is to be conscious of all this choicelessly. Yeah? So he described what is choicelessly. It is to be aware totally of all your conscious and unconscious reaction. Means your subconscious reaction, habitual reaction. And you can't be totally aware if you are condemning, if you are justifying, or if you say, I will keep my belief, my experience, my knowledge. Then you are only partially aware. To me, you are heedless already. You are not even partially aware. And partially aware is really blindness. There he supported me by the second paragraph. Partially aware is actually heedlessness already. That's why it's really blindness. Means you are not able to see. You are not observing anymore. Seeing or understanding is not a matter of time. Understand? Not? That direct seeing, no psychological time, or no thinking one. You just see, understand? So seeing or understanding is not a matter of time. It is not a matter of graduation. Either you see or you don't see. You remember what I say? Either you understand or you don't understand. Because yoni so manasikara, wise attention at the moment, you cannot learn one. Either you have or you don't have. You don't have means you will stir. Upon contact, feeling arrive, feeling will condition craving. You cannot cut a feeling. That's why you have to reflect, contemplate, straighten your view, and develop the universal manasikara. You have means you have. You don't have means you have. You don't have. So like here, Krishnamurti used this. I also like this. Either you see or you don't see. I also share the other part with you that truth is everywhere. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. And those who don't see, they never see. Exactly like this one. Either you see or you don't see. So in Hokkien, either you dead or you not dead. So you are not aware, you are as if dead, as I spiritually dead. And you can't see, you are not deeply aware, see? Means you are not fully aware of silence. You cannot see. And you can't see if you are not deeply aware of your own reaction or conditioning, of your own conditioning and reaction. Being aware of your conditioning, you must watch it choicelessly. Understand? You don't go and like aware then complain. No, I do it again. This is reacting. You must see how that defilement come to be and the origination factor, like the Satipatthana Sutta. Then how through your reflection, contemplation, understand, you straighten your view so that next time you don't react like that again. Understand? When you see something, hear something, smell something, taste, tactile, feel or think, you will not repeat that heedless reaction or that chattering mind from complaining. Understand? Because this is due to your wrong view, your lack of understanding. The moment you straighten your view, the next time you perceive it, you will not do the same thing. You understand it, you have reflected, contemplated. They are just the way they are, understand? Then you know more, how can he say this and all those things. So here is a very important sentence that Krishnamurti used. Being aware of your conditioning, you must watch it choicelessly. You must see the fact and not give an opinion or judgment about the fact. And this is what human beings do. You got a lot of opinion, views, and judgment. You got a lot of right and wrong. That's why you never see if you do that. In other words, you must look at the fact without, what is that word? So when you are aware, it means what? Without thought, mindful, fully aware. Then there is an awareness, a state of attention without a center. This is spacious awareness, understand? Without a center. Without frontier, where the known does not interfere. What is the known? Memory. Very good. Because whatever you retain your memories of the known, of the past, understand? That's why this code is very, very powerful and very beautiful. And now you will start to understand more about daily mindfulness. You must be aware of your own emotion, your own feeling, your own reaction, your own evil roots. That's why the Buddha say when there is anger, emotional negativity, fear, insecurity, you must be aware. When there is selfishness, greed, you must be aware. When there is anger, hatred, you must be aware. Where these are evil, root of all evil, they make you evil. Then you determine to abandon them, as a lot, through right effort at the thought level. Then later on, you use Dhamma. Dhamma Nupasana, 6 internal sense bases and 6 external. You start to understand, because you silently aware, you realize they come in through one of the sense door, as a lot. Then when they arise, how your mind stir because of your wrong view. That's why Alicia now very good at this type of thing. She keep on listening and laugh and smile. Then she straighten her view. Then the next time she can accept all this reality without problem. Then after that, he retrospectively reversed that because he said it's due to my wrong view. That's why if I refuse to change, if I refuse to be mindful, heedful, I can never live life. That's why that understanding transformed her. That's why when she continued to listen, this one is through the wisdom way she go in, understand not? When she listened to the Dhamma, she went through depression, suffering people, this way is the best. Because they can relate it very well. Then they can understand this is real suffering. And this is the last they have anything to do with this type of thinking. Because she remember what I say. What is wrong thought? Thought that condition, your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, your evil. These are wrong thoughts. So he said, no need to think. All of the wholesome thoughts, so beautiful, pity, sukha, all those things. Then tranquility, stillness of mind, silent mind, I was saying, mindfulness, heedfulness, just being aware. So heedful living and heedless living is so, the two are so distinctly different. That's why she realized this is what she has been looking for. And Last time, because of lack of understanding of this Dhamma, she cannot penetrate. Then the moment she penetrates, you know what happened? Avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. When avijja paccaya sankhara weaken, what happened? Yeah, she straightened her view, remember? So wrong view less. Less delusion. Less sakaya ditti. Less avijja, ignorant. Then less thinking, understand? We are avijja paccaya sankhara. Sankhara is thinking. Mental contact. The reaction, the conditioning, the stirring. So all this become less. That's why the mind become quiet, clarity. That's why she can be like throughout the day without thought, with joy on it, then fully aware. Then everything she see become awareness. And because of that, in Cameron Island, the retreat, the last recent retreat, March, she said, how come so funny? All of a sudden, she saw the fish jump out from the pond, land on the rock. She don't use the eye to see anymore, no more bandaging. It's all from the heart, the awareness. She said, how come the mind now, the awareness and the fish move as one? Then the fish like can talk to her and let her receive the understanding and the Dhamma. Then at the moment she understands, at the spur of the moment when the fish show her how it jumped back into the pond, the awareness of it trigger off the understanding, the awakening. Already out of samsara, still want to jump back into the pond. Yeah. And it's straight away, like, winning, clear. Then, no more. Understand not? Already out, but the reflective, contemplative wisdom, second turning, very stable. So, it is during this silent moment where any of these things will trigger. Then later on, she listened to the Dhamma, the recording and all the things, and the transcript. Keep on understanding. Just like song, keep on understanding, and many other. Because when you already connect with the awareness, with this ability, it becomes very different. So those who go into wisdom way, you have to experience suffering. Then you understand, can relate. Then you wake up. Then you determine. Then you straighten your view. Then you realize, avijja paccaya sankhara weaken. That link weakened, you become more aware, less thought. Then you are so mindful of the wrong thought, before it arises, you already knew. This lead to suffering. This lead to fear, worry, anxiety. These are all wrong thought. That's why your cultivation on the way for power automatic one. You have the right view, understand. And it's incapable of negativity. She see rubbish, she cannot like last time, don't care or just simply throw. Yeah, they will go and pick it up and dispose it on their own. Nobody tell them one. Then their heart is different already. Yeah. These are the things they will go through. And this is what they share with me during the moments when they are with me. And I told them this is what I went through too during the early days. Because it will transform you inside completely. And this is the real Dhamma. So when you have this understanding, you become completely different. That's why the Dhamma is capable of understanding, awakening. And when that thing trigger off and it happens, you become most beautiful. And you become a blessing to all. Yeah. So all this is to give you faith. This is not like trying to promote thing or what. Is to give you faith that it can be done. People with depression for so long, they also can wake up. What about you who don't have depression? You somehow refuse to wake up. So all this is telling you one very clear thing. Don't wait for suffering to come and hit you, then only determine to wake up. There is another way, no need to go through suffering. Like song went through. You just do, don't try to know. Bow until the sati come. Then when the condition ready, you connect. The moment you connect, he reaches a state just like what avijja paccaya sankhara weakened. But that one is because past life cultivate already. Then the moment it connect, he read my note, listen to my teaching, he understand very fast. Keep on understanding. Is that the understanding keep on coming. Because connected, silent, awareness, heedfulness. That's like the moment you are heedful, the heedful never die. You are destined for enlightenment. And to be heedful is not difficult. Like swimming, just jump into the water and swim until you can float without float. You know what swimming is, you are home. You bow, walk, mindful daily, until you are aware. Then that form of mind that is aware of what sati is already the awareness. It's just like when you know how to swim without the float, you know what swimming is. That's why you bow until that awareness come, I still remember. Then you understand what that sati is. No wooden. That's why during the early days, about almost 30 years ago, I think, 30 years ago, the moment I hit the sati, when I realized what it was, I tell myself, no wonder people cannot do it. But nobody really understand at that time, hardly anybody, what sati is. Well, what I have been told and read about the book is all different. And nobody can precisely explain what the sati is. Until later, I have to find my own words. Yeah. And when I use my own word, Krishnamurti's word was there already, but I didn't know. But his word is not Dhamma one. His one is day-to-day life one. So if you don't have the understanding, you cannot understand what he's saying. Okay? So with this, we will end with Krishnamurti's. Good. Oh, sorry. 10:45 already. Wow. Sorry, I exceeded your time. 15 minutes. Okay, maybe we end. So we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one, wait till next Thursday. This one got a lot of good things. By next Thursday, I hope I can read to you all those important things. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata cha mehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it greatly contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one and all those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sugita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all do be well and happy always. Okay, now we will do the invocation of blessing for the nation. Devo satukalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Now you make your aspiration. Imina punyang kamena Ame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish or the heedless, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, before you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, I got one small announcement. Tomorrow, there will be a Klang talk for those who are in Klang. So the topic is on urgency of cultivation. So if you are free, you want to join us, you can come along. Okay? Yeah. Pay respect. Mindfully to Lord Buddha.
One year, not yet. Yeah.